I'm very curious.
You can take it with you, Pat.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, God, this goes next to my bed.
Falling off?
Trisha, it's okay to close this door.
Yes.
You're going to ask this question?
Yes.
Do you want to have a quick look over them to see what they are?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's a healing book.
Ready?
What is that?
Questions? No, we better just do it.
It's some of the questions. I was saying if you want to look over them.
Aren't you going to ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. We're standing by the dumping, right?
Yes.
How far down are you getting? Are you getting my legs too?
Well, the wide shot we're getting a wide frame, and then these two cameras are doing it. Probably a two shot in the close up.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to do the full. If you cross, knee cross.
Huh?
If you cross your legs, knee cross.
Will this show me how to do it?
Reverse.
Is this like the royal family? This is the royal family. That's why Megan left. She couldn't get those legs.
It looks very nice.
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling myself.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. All right, good
to be rolling. Okay, double tap cell phone silence.
Can I have a tissue?
Silence.
A tissue.
I have an allergy. Everything in here is. Yeah, that's good enough. Toilet paper towel, anything. Thank you. I have a drippy nose. Sorry.
We both have
a dripping nose, so once in a while we have to stop the flood.
We'll grab some tissue paper from the bathroom. Yes. The bathroom. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You have a seat.
How many are you rolling?
I'm rolling. Yep. Okay. Roll.
Okay.
We are
good.
Are we waiting for tissue, or are we?
He has some in his pocket.
Oh, okay.
You can go.
We can go. Okay. All right. Right, guys.
Okay.
The first question, we all know who you are and what you do, but if you could both state who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
I'm Stephen Burrows. I'm from North New Jersey, and I'm a fashion designer.
I'm Pat Cleveland. I'm from New York, and I'm a model.
Nice. So when did your interest in fashion begin? Who or what has informed your definition of beauty?
Well, my interest started in high school. When my group of friends and I fell in love with the mambo, and I used to sketch dresses for my dance partner that I imagined would wear if I could actually make up the sketch that I drew. I went to Philadelphia Senior College of Art to be an art teacher, and in the second year, you had to pick a major. And they took us on a tour of the school, and it went through the economics department, which included apparel design. And I went into a room full of mannequins, and I thought maybe I would like, instead of just design the dresses in a sketch, to actually make it into a garment, come to life. And so I switched schools and went to FIT, and the rest is history.
When did your interest in fashion begin?
I was born with the interest of fashion. At home, I used to sew clothes and create new looks to wear to school every day. And one day, I was discovered in the subway, and I went by Vogue, and they wrote an article about me, and they said, oh, this girl was in the subway, and she was wearing this, that, and the other. And then I went back to school, and I started to study design, fashion design, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be a designer, and I started making clothes. And then I was discovered again by Carrie Donovan and up at Vogue, and I had a double-page spread in Vogue with my clothes that I made, and then I got a commission from Henry Bendel's to make clothes when I was like 17. And then I went back to school, and I suddenly, after the Ebony Fashion Fair, I started modeling. And I was lucky because as I was up at Vogue working with Diana Vreeland and Carrie Donovan and Joel Schumacher and Manning Obregon, the illustrator, they mistakenly sent me to see Mr. Stephen Burroughs. And they meant that I should have been Norma Jean Darden, but I was the mistake. So I went up to Henry Bendel's, and I went to the cutting room, and I saw those fabrics being cut, and I said, oh, boy, this is heaven. And then I went to knock on the door, the steel door, and the door opened, and all this smoke came out, and it was like a magic moment. It was like a jungle in there, and Stephen was sitting at his tall desk, and he was sketching like a little, he had a little like yarmulke hat on, and he was sketching, and he was dressed in silver, and I thought I was in another world. And I went in there, and I think you thought I was Norma Jean.
She was like a dream, like my sketch come to life, and walked off the page into my life, like One Touch of Venus, the movie. And that was a moment that I'll always remember.
And it was wonderful because it was magical, and he was colorful, and he had this entourage of friends that were up at Henry Bendel's, and it was like we had he had his own little world. It was called Stephen Burroughs' World that I entered, and after that I started wearing Stephen's clothes, and it changed my life. Clothes change your life. His clothes gave me freedom, and we went to dance, and I could pack like 20 dresses in a bag this big, and we had adventures. We had lots of adventures around the world, and I mean, fashion and meeting the right person in fashion does change your life. And they encouraged me. They encouraged me to go forward and to pursue my highest goals, and you know, he saw things in me I didn't see, so I'm glad. That's how I started.
You all kind of touched on these other questions, but can you both maybe share a little bit more about your individual fashion journeys? You both touched on where you went to school and how you met each other. Could you maybe also talk about any other pivotal moments in your career trajectory, any mentors or peers that you had during the time?
Well, 1973 was a big year for me. I won my first Coty Award in that year, the same year as Versailles. And it was like the dawning of a new age for me. It was 1973. It was more than I could imagine, the success that I got from.
From everything that happened to you, and the Geraldine Stutz on everything.
Yeah, I met the president of, I started out in a boutique called O Boutique down on Park Avenue South in 19th Street in Manhattan. In 1968, the owner of the bazaar wanted to have a bazaar that sold art, and considered my clothes art, and he asked me if I would be interested in being involved in this boutique called O. And I said yes, and that was like the beginning of my first ready-to-wear venture. From there, after Ogletea in 1969, I went, a friend of mine, Joe Schumacher, suggested I come see the president of Bender's, where he was the visual planning director. So I went to see her, and she tried on a few of my things and turned around and said, I'll give you a boutique on the third floor. When can you start? And I started the next Monday. This was Thursday. And I started working there the next Monday in 1970. Stephen Burroughs' World opened at Henry Bender.
Would you mind, Pat, also sharing some stories from your individual journey? You talked a little bit about being discovered on the train, but if there are any other like pivotal moments that kind of shaped your career or experience you had, or mentors?
Oh my God, my world, other than Versailles, you know, the time that I spent in New York with Stephen, and then because of him, he said, well, you have to meet this Halston. And we were at this party, and Halston walked into the room, and everybody was just sort of coming up at the time. Stephen Halston, Giorgio Di Sant'Angelo, Fernando Sanchez. We all kind of partied together with Joe Eula and Joel Schumacher. And it was like a little group of party people, and we'd go out, dance, and be at a party. And he said, well, I want you to talk to Halston. And then Halston came and sat down next to me, and Stephen was there, and he said, oh, who are you? And I introduced myself because Stephen told me to. But I hadn't realized that Halston had seen me in the Ebony Fashion Fair in 1966. So when I met him, he said, oh, I know who you are. I've already seen you in Chicago. And I said, oh. And so then he asked me to work for him. And then after that, it was Giorgio Di Sant'Angelo and Fernando Sanchez. And it was all because of Stephen's World that I came out and I was able to meet all of these wonderful people like Carrie Donovan was there, and Diane Vreeland, and all of these wonderful people came into our lives. And at the time, the factory was going on downtown with Andy Warhol and all our, my school friends would go down and hang out in the club in New York and say, oh, come and hang out with us. And well, anyway, Andy was there. And so it all kind of was mixed up like a melange of Stephen, Halston, Andy, and a whole bunch of Donna Jordan, crazy, you know, drag queens from Andy's world. And we used to go to a place which was across from O, and it was
Max's Kansas City.
And that's where all the drag queens used to go in there and try to get free drinks and dinner.
All the artists and musicians hung out there.
Everybody was there. And it was across the street from O, where Stephen, I hadn't met Stephen yet, but O Boutique was it. Like big stars like Cher and all the musicians used to go in there. Betty Davis, everybody used to go in there and buy those fringed leather pants. And it was wonderful because he had Charles Tracy was this photographer that was part of the group. And then Stephen and the gang, we'd all go out to Fire Island on the weekends and do these shootings in these fringed pants and these delicate see-through butterfly dresses with fringes on, the sunset would be in our face and we'd be photographing and laughing and everybody was inspiring each other. I mean, there's so much to talk about because those private moments living with Stephen and Hoss and the gang and Calvin Klein was out there too, and we all had, Stephen had a house, everybody had a house, and they redecorated every weekend. Not only clothes, they did interior. Stephen did these wonderful interiors. He draped fabric.
Each group had their own DJ, had their own photographer, had their own florist, and they were all distinctly different from each other. But each group had this set of individuals that were unique and unto themselves, and but combined to make up a magical group.
And then we'd all combine and party together and go to the Cody Awards and sing and dance and go and and meet up for dinner, you know. Stephen was a good cook. So he'd have these wonderful, Don Finley, the musician, would play the party, and all the models and designers would come over to his house, and everybody would entertain each other.
Yeah, Fire Island was a magical place for us. Yeah. On the weekend, we'd all gather in this place where there were no cars allowed. It was like...
paradise.
It was an inspirational place that was like nothing has come since. It's still popular today, but it's not like it was back then. Mm-hmm. It was just a magical place.
And we kind of lived a limo life. Do you know what that is? They had these stretch limos, and so every little group would get dressed up in the clothes, and Stephen was so funny, he would go over to his house, and he had this big, beautiful painting he made. It was like a jungle, and we'd be over there and throw the clothes up in the air. Now, you wear this, and you wear that, and then the girls would fight over the clothes, like, I'm wearing this tonight, I'm wearing
that. Yeah, I'd never see the clothes again.
And we'd take off with them and wear them all over the world, and it was a limo life, and then we'd end up just being in those stretch limos, kind of like an act of a little circus or a tribe, all jumping into the car and having music. Music was so important for us. We would dance, and I was sort of like the test driver, I think, of the clothes.
It was the beginning of the DJ moment in music history. There were clubs like The Loft, and the garage, where everyone gathered on the weekends and stayed up all night taking drugs and having a good time. But it was an unusual, special time in New York when this happened. Of course, it was the birth of the DJ movement.
And the clothes went along with the movement of the music.
Yeah, I was going to ask, my next question was going to be if you could both describe the Stephen Burroughs aesthetic. Like, what were the clothes looking like? How did they feel?
They were close to the body, and usually in a stretch fabric that showed off the body. I was concerned about showing the body underneath, and no linings, no underwear, no. It was just natural fabrics or rayon, and mostly natural silk. My favorite was rayon mat jersey that didn't cling, it didn't have any electrostatic to it, and it showed off the body underneath, and that was my favorite fabric.
I know you told me before on the phone that you also would design the prints on some fabric. Is that
yes.
True?
Yeah. Well, I used to sketch the group of friends. I did a print of the group and my group, caricatures of the individuals.
Can I jump in with one
specific?
It's amazing to hear these old stories. I just was curious if you think that it's changed over the years in terms of how fashion is viewed as fine art and belonging in a museum, if that's evolved. And then what it means in particular to be in this museum, you know, with a group of designers that are, some of them are decades younger than you. You've had a little bit of a chance to look around this museum. I just love to hear about what it means to specifically be in the Newark Museum and this show that's coming up in February.
Well, anytime there's a showcase for your work, you try to accommodate the occasion. And that's why I'm interested in being here. It shows off a time when our life was inspirational and we hope it inspires future generations. That's about how I feel about that.
My next question is about the Battle of Versailles. You both participated in one of the most historic moments in fashion history, the Battle of Versailles, a fashion show organized in 1973 to raise funds for the restoration of the Palace of Versailles in France. I would love if you could just speak to what your experience was like at the Battle of Versailles, how you feel like that experience impacted not only your careers, but the overall landscape for opportunity for black models and designers.
Well, it was an historical moment that Eleanor Lambert thought of this idea with the chairman of the board of Versailles, restoration of Versailles. She had a vision of American fashion having a place at the fashion table of the world. And she figured this was a way to establish that. I was asked to be part of it, and I was very excited to be part of it. It gave a chance to go to Paris for free, and it was an exciting moment to try and put on a good show for the charity, which the event was for a charity. It wasn't a battle at all. It wasn't, didn't get named a battle until years later. But we did wreck the French when we did the show. 37 minutes, and they were throwing, stomping on the floor and throwing their programs in the air and screaming bravo. And it was a really exciting moment.
Yeah.
It was an exciting moment because we were just loving the French. We were there to bring America to France because we had beautiful clothes and they were all in the belly of the plane, and we partied till we got there. And some of the girls had never been to Paris, and they were so excited when they got off the bus at Versailles. They kissed the ground, and it was the middle of December and the snowflakes were coming down, and we were all like girls in the hotel. It was so exciting. It was like a varsity thing. We were like, oh, girls in Paris. And then we went to Versailles, and it was like old and cold, and we
no
said,
heat,
and
no
we were
toilet
like,
paper.
It was just reality.
No food.
Reality hit us. We were like, oh my God, now we know why we have to be here. But we didn't
we
let
had
that.
To throw a fit to get
food.
Toilet paper in the bathroom.
And food. And we just didn't, we weren't used to all of that, you know. And so the situation was that we had very little time to rehearse, which is the other side of the peacock. But once we had our event and our moment to come out, we did shine, and we had very little to work with because everything that we wanted to work with didn't work because we...
They measured in inches instead of meters. And it came too small, so we lost our decoration, our set scenery. So it had to be done on an empty stage, which turned out to be the greatest thing that happened to us. Because all they had to do was look at the clothes. There wasn't any other distraction to take away from the clothes.
And the lighting and the music and the movement of the girls from 7th Avenue, I'm one of them. Because, you know, they tried to hire all of these big editorial models, and they kind of, you know, stuck up their nose like, oh, we're not going to go over there for no money. But we girls in 7th Avenue were hungry to take a trip and to be dressed beautifully. So we went along very gracefully and happily. Yes, we will do it. And we did it with a lot of pride because we knew we had to represent. Not only did we have to represent America, we had to represent all our rainbow girls. We were rainbow girls. We were Americans. We had one in each color. And so it was like a candy box we offered. We were like offering all our energy, our love, and they embraced us, really. So it wasn't a battle. We were there just to party and show off like peacocks. You know, and the girls, they had movement because we were used to doing routines, and Stephen had moves he taught to us. One of them is this. And then we did the first voguing, by the way, because at the parties, we'd always dance like this, and, you know, we would never mess up our clothes. Voguing is about not messing up your attire, just using your ladylike movements, you know. So we did that, and they'd never seen that before. And so then that's where the voguing came in, and the American way of presenting a show. And don't forget, those black girls and us, we had some movements that they had never seen, because we were used to dancing to James Brown, and all that funkiness came out, and they just sniffed it up. It was like perfume for them. They were in the scent of American girls, and we gave it to them, didn't we, Stephen, with all those colors? And I had a train that was long on the back of my dress from Stephen's dress, as long as the whole stage. And the stage kind of went down like this, so it was a bit slippery. I don't know how we did it, but it worked out, and we partied. We partied at Versailles like you've never seen a party, men in tights and everything, and they had white wigs on and white gloves, and they were just standing there waiting to wait on us when we had other ideas. But anyway, they were beautiful, I'm telling you. It was gorgeous, and the cherubs were dancing in the ceiling, and oh my God, the Duchess of Windsor was there, and all the princesses had crowns on, and everybody was like Cinderella. I don't know, and we were walking.
I got to meet Josephine Baker. That was an experience. And Saint Laurent told me that my clothes were ravishing, and that was an experience that topped off the whole event for me.
You became buddies after that.
Yeah.
Well, he just left Stephen Burroughs. Two of my favorite people in one room at the same time. It's like all your favorite people in one room at the same time. It's a little bit, a lot to absorb with all those chandeliers and those golden candelabras and all of those diamonds. Everybody was reflecting light that night. It was amazing. And I was sitting with the Duchess of Windsor, and she was like kind of funny. And Liza was there, and everybody, and every girl kept walking through the hallway. I was walking through the hallway with Givenchy, and he's 6'7". And I thought, wow, look at this. You know, we all got these little golden boxes as gifts under our chairs. And we're walking around with our gifts. Oh, we were just loved. We were loved. Oh, and I stepped on Nureyev's toe before he went out to dance, which was a mistake. But anyway, he forgave me. Anyway, that was the highlight of my stepping on his toe. But other than that...
Did that answer your question?
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm off.
Yeah, no, I would just... We have to start wrapping up soon.
Sure.
You guys are just amazing. We could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. I would just love to have somebody that brings it back. You just spent a few minutes walking through this collection. I don't know if you've been here before, but I would love to have you just reflect on this museum and talk about the Newark Museum of Art. Just so we can sort of bring it home and what it means. This is your hometown, right?
Yeah.
Stephen? So
I haven't been here since 1974.
Wow.
Except I got the key to the city in 2019 from Mayor Baraka. But I haven't been back my family, it's all moved out of Newark to Georgia. So there's not really any ties back here, except a few distant cousins.
Have you gotten to know some of the other young designers that are in this?
No, I haven't. I'll check them out.
I'll send you a list of their names.
But do you think it's going to inspire some young kids from Newark to then get into the industry and design and follow?
I'm sure it will.
How does that make you feel to have your work here to inspire these young kids?
I feel humble. Just to have them say they like something that was done ages ago is an inspiration to me. Today everything seems like it's from LL Bean. It's just 4 times more expensive, but it's all LL Bean, and I find it leaving me wanting for something different.
Could you speak briefly about your childhood here in Newark, and what that was like as far as fashion influences concerned? What inspired you?
Well, the only fashion influence was my grandmother's were both sample hands on 7th Avenue for a designer called Patty Carnegie. I think that's how my parents met, although they were both from Harlem. I think that's how my mother and father met, because my grandmothers were friends and that they worked in the same place. So I used to dress my grandmother once I learned how to sew. And I got into FIT, I would dress my grandmother. And I made my first pair of pants out of a leather coat that she had, an old leather coat I cut up and made into a pair of leather pants, fringe leather pants. That was the beginning of my creating of fashion.
I think we're great. Is there anything else that you feel that you didn't get a chance to express? And we're very happy, and this is terrific. But no,
I don't think there's anything else. We could probably go on for hours. I know Pat could.
Definitely.
I'm happy with how it turned out.
Pat, do you have any final words for us? To
keep believing.
Don't ask such a question.
Yeah, the answer is in yourself, and always, you know, go to your highest potential and be inspired by those who came before you, because art is a way, and art is the way to a better life for many people. And so for me, it has always been my protector, my guide, and I do absorb it like it's a breath of air for me. And this museum is so beautiful that I really feel I want to spend so much more time here, because it's just nourishing for the soul, really. That's how I feel being here.
You got it.
Thank you.
That was terrific. So I believe that we're going to head downstairs. Yeah. There should be some lunch.